Open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 1, the very beginning of the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's written in quite a different style, and he's actually been quite different from Matthew and Luke. Because if you remember, Matthew and Luke both started out with a big genealogy list that one from the father's side and one from the mother's side. And Mark doesn't do this. Mark just sort of plunges right into everything. And so as you begin it, there's just no introduction or anything else at all. And in the first 12 verses, Mark records that Jesus accomplishes an awful lot. And so what he does is, in the space of these 12 verses, if we were to read all of this chapter, we see that Jesus is baptized, then he's tempted by Satan in the desert for 40 days. He comes back, he starts his preaching, and he calls his disciples. And then as the part we're going to read, we see Jesus has ended up in the temple on probably the Sabbath day in the city of Capernaum. Capernaum was a nice city. It was at the north end of the Sea of Galilee, and quite possibly some of the disciples lived there or from that area, and because they were fishermen, and this is where the center of a lot of the fishing industry was up there. So Mark just plunges right in until he gets to this passage in verse 21 where Jesus is in the temple. And then all of a sudden he takes a pause. And he deals with this more intensely than any of the other things. He just talks about them, and so you know they happened. Okay? But they are really interrelated to each other. So let's read, beginning at verse 21, and go down through verse 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in the synagogue, who was possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." And news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Let us pray together. Almighty and precious God, you are the Savior of this world, and you heal many diseases. And Lord, we ask that any spirits that need to be removed from our lives can be so done, so that, Lord, we can walk closer with you. Give us your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to the temptation just for a minute, because, you know, one of the words that was written there is the fact that after he was baptized and he was coming up out of the water, and the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. Now, some of the additions and scriptures that you might have at home say that he was driven. Now, if you happen to have that in your text someplace, it's not that he was forced. Okay? Mark uses it, and it was translated that way because it was a very intense situation in the life of Jesus at the very beginning. Because, you see, in order for us to have what we have today, Jesus had to win. It was very important that he go through this temptation. Then he knows exactly what we went through. And there is a comparison between him and Adam and Eve way back in the book of Genesis. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the 45th verse, it reads this way. The first Adam became a living being. Okay, remember, he was created out of the dust of the earth. Okay? And he lived and he was to have dominion over the animals and everything that was there. And he did with Eve until the sin of disobedience. And then they lost that dominion to have. And we see the results today yet. Okay? The rest of the verse reads, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Okay? You with me? This turns us to the Son of God. The first man, dust of earth, but next Adam came from heaven. So Jesus really needed to pass this testing in order for us to be able to have what we have today. You know, that we can have life. And that, as the scriptures always remind us, we can have it more abundantly than we have without him. And it's the same with us. You and I have to pass temptation. We have them. Let's be honest with ourselves. They do occur in our lives. We don't like them, and we probably don't say much about them, and we keep them behind us, and we deal with them. And sometimes, maybe if we try to deal with them all in our own strength, it doesn't work out too well. But when we deal with them in the strength of God, who won in his battle, and who is our Savior, can help us win in our battle, in our struggles. Because sometimes we just are possessed by something. We're just possessed to be driven, or we're going to have our way, or we're going to do something, and the world better like it. Plus, the world probably doesn't even know it's going to happen, and it could care less. But nonetheless, that's kind of the way we live at the moment, okay? So, you know, the whole purpose of Jesus going there is for us, so that we can win too. We have to fight that battle in the same way he did. Remember, he answered everything Satan said with the scripture. He didn't say, I can do it, or anything else, and he probably could have, I'm sure, but as being the Son of God. But he always referred to the back into the book of Deuteronomy and Numbers and quoted the scriptures. So, you know, that's kind of our way. If you have a struggle, what about finding a scripture that could become the thought of the day, a week, or whatever you need? What about printing it and putting it on your refrigerator door? Something that you and I can call upon rather than trying to struggle in our own strength. I have no idea, and Mark doesn't say what Jesus preached on. It just says that he was there and he was preaching. Now, usually worship there and then time was very simple. It consisted of praising God for the blessings and doing some praying and reading the law and the prophets. And out of some place where they're reading, an adult male who was known to be efficient in understanding the scriptures would stand up and give a lesson. So Mark doesn't say what Jesus did for his lesson. But you know, he came proclaiming the good news. And they're interconnected because we got the disciples and everything else. But notice what the people say. They kept talking about because he taught them as one who had authority. And then it says about the other people, a new teaching and with authority. He even gives evil spirits that obeys him, you know. Because the scribes and the Pharisees taught from the authority that they were given as with their position and their lot in life. They were able to share the law and the prophets. But it was like we could all sit down and have a discussion. You know, today we call it a Bible study. Okay? And we could have a lot of give and take. And we could all decide, you know, what was the best meaning and understanding. And we could go home and feel good. And that's the way they worked, so to speak. But Jesus didn't. Jesus came and the people recognized that he had the authority to do what he was doing. And there's a different feeling if we had someone come in here who was, you know, had PhD or something and really disgusted and led us, and we'd look up to him as one who has authority and understand that he had that authority. Jesus was put in that way. The scribes spoke from the authority that was given to them. Jesus brought his own authority with him. He had it in his life and he carried it. And the authority, even though it happened afterward, I sat in the office over there and I thought, I wonder if this voice of authority or this feeling of authority was transmitted to the disciples even before this scene happened, because the disciples were called just before that. I wonder if that voice of authority went into come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If that power that exuded from his voice and his authority just was there. But Mark wants to prove it somehow that it is there. And so he records this time about the demon-possessed person. And you know, whoever this person was, he was really insulting the whole Jewish faith. He should not have been in the temple with that unclean spirit in him, because he would be pronounced unclean. Just like if you had leprosy and you were cured, you had to go show yourselves to the priest, the authority, and they would say you're clean, and so they had the authority to do that, and you could go on. You couldn't go in because you were unclean. You had to stay away from people. This man would have been judged unclean by understanding the scriptures. And yet, he had the nerve to wander into the temple. What an insult to the Jewish faith. But do evil spirits really care? Does Satan really care what he does to anybody, or how he insults you or me or anybody else? Does he care? Does he even give a hoot? I don't think he does. Whatever he does to you, he's happy. And no matter what the results are that affect your life, he don't care. He just comes in, does what he pleases, upsets you, upsets me, you know. Satan's like that in our lives sometimes, isn't he? I'm sure we don't ever invite him in, do we? I wouldn't think we would. But somehow he just kind of ends up being there. And remember, we are the temple of God. When we read the New Testament with Paul's writing, we are the temple. Our body is the temple of God where he resides. He resides in our heart. And so you see, the willingness that Satan has to come and just be a part of your life, he's got a lot of nerve. And I don't mean that just sarcastically. I mean it as a reality. He's got a lot of nerve. He just comes in. And what does it matter? You know? Jesus exposes him then and now. Because Jesus, didn't you notice? That evil spirit recognized right away who Jesus was. It's interesting, isn't it? Here he is, from the fallen angels of the skies, an evil spirit, and they would know who Jesus Christ was. They would know about the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. And he said, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" And interesting that he uses that, because when he does that, he actually recognizes the humanity of Jesus Christ, that he was born in the city of Bethlehem and he lived in the city of Nazareth, and everything that went with the humanity of Jesus Christ is recognized in that short phrase by that spirit. But his deity as being the Son of God is also recognized, because before the verse ends, he said, I know who you are. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. I know who you are. And he says, the Holy One of God. Wow. Even the evil spirits recognize the power of God, don't they? What are you going to do with us? Are you going to, what do you want to do? Have you come to destroy us? Some of the scriptures say to cast us into a pit, wherever that is, but obviously it was to get rid of him. And Jesus says, be quiet. I think they're being polite, because probably Jesus didn't tell them to shut up. But, you know, but anyway, he told them to be quiet. And he said, come out of him, you know. You know, today people, we see evil deeds. Somehow they've got to be possessed of something in their lives to take a human life so wantonly as they do. We need the presence of God. You know, it's interesting that even he went into the temple to hear the prophets and the law discussed. What was his purpose other than that? I don't know. But the situation is, when Jesus said to come out of him, it was like saying, break free. Break free of this evil spirit. Break free of what's hindering you and your relationship with, he didn't say it this way, but underneath it all. Break free of that which hinders you and your relationship with God, my Father. Because I'm quoting what Jesus Christ would say, or implying what Jesus Christ would say. And so he says to him, you know, when we have contentions and everything, somebody's a winner and somebody's a loser. You know, that's kind of, war is like who's the strongest, right? And who's the weakest? Who's got the most planes and whatever? Doesn't necessarily resolve the issues in life, okay? The Holy Spirit and Jesus wants everybody to be a winner. He wants you and I, all of us seated here, all of others people, he wants us, everybody, to be a winner. That's the good news. I like to win. I like to have that feeling, a good feeling in my life. It comes through Jesus Christ. But when we do other things, it's like we hunger and thirst after something that it's going to give us. But for some reason, after it's all said and done, and we think about it sometimes, maybe the next day or late that night, it really didn't satisfy us as much as we thought it would. It looked appealing. We had some oranges, and boy, they looked appealing. They really looked it, and I could taste the juice, that sweet juice, and I peeled them, and guess what? The top third of the oranges were all dried out. There was no juice in the bottom half or bottom two-thirds at all. Boy, they look great. I bought them. They weren't. We managed to get through them, salvage what we could get juice out of. You know, things look good. I just couldn't wait to get into one of them. It didn't work out that well. You and I need to feast on the scriptures, because when we have our temptations, so, you know, then we're filled with the satisfaction of Jesus Christ at being able to overcome. So I titled this, Who is Jesus? You know, what kind of an answer would you give that? If someone asked you who Jesus was to you, what kind of an answer would you give? And I don't mean the scriptures, because we can quote them out of Isaiah, the Prince of Peace, and the Wonderful Counselor. I mean, really in the depth of our heart and life, what can we say? What would Jesus Christ for each one of us? You know, we can see in there what he wants for us. He wants us to be a winner. Let us pray. God, we all like to win. It pleases us a great deal when we win. And so, Lord, Help us to stay focused on you so that by looking to you and listening to your words, we can be a winner. Help us to rise up above everything in this world that Satan can show us so that we are satisfied with you in our lives. Thank you for this day and these scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.